The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Good afternoon and welcome once again. This is Paul Orlowski, as you just heard in the intro there, and we've got a special show today. Father Barry Gearing is joining us, and he's at St. John Newman, the pastor there. Father, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Glad to be here with you.
One of the important things in my formation as I got older away from the parish and at college was at a Newman parish, mm-hmm. which ministers to lots of young people in college. And it was very important to me. And so I have maybe a special place in my heart, I suppose, for St. John Newman. You're there now, but the journey started long before that. Tell me about your vocation journey. Did you always have something in the back of your head? Or
No, I was one of those kids that grew up going to what back then was called CCD. And yep. My family would go to Mass every Sunday. And God bless my parents, you know, but Mass was sort of always like an obligation to go. And it really didn't do much to affect us throughout the week. It was just, you know, you go to Mass. And so I grew up sort of not really engaged in my faith. God bless CCD, but it was like help Mary and Joseph find their way to the maze, to the manger, and there's your Advent lesson and things like that. And don't mean to make light of it, but it's true, and it happens. So when I graduated from high school in 1985, I was a product of the big 80s MTV generation, and I graduated in June, and in July, I was on my way to Lackland Air Force Base to do 4 years in the military in law enforcement. And I just turned 18, and all of a sudden, I have all this freedom and access to all sorts of things that MTV tells us that we need to be happy and joyful. So I like to say I was formed by MTV. And so I had the world at my fingertips, and I got through basic training and was signed tragically to Panama City Beach, Florida for 4 years.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, which was a real recipe for holiness and all those sorts of things. And so that just further fed how I worshiped at the altar of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Am I allowed to say that? I don't know. It's okay. Hey. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, that's where those were the altars where I prayed, so to speak. After that, I decided that I really wasn't, you know, being in law enforcement, while I enjoyed it immensely, it wasn't really my call. I always liked English and writing and reading and those sorts of things. And so I thought that I might want to be an English teacher, a high school English teacher. So I enrolled in the University of Akron in the fall of 1989 and studied English and education. And kind of rolled on with that for a while, was dating young ladies, but really had a twisted notion of what love and relationship was because I was so malformed, mm-hmm. you know, and every time you see a pretty girl, I fell in love, you know, and you date for a little bit and then it just doesn't work out. And so I went from relationship to relationship while still studying at the University of Akron, but just something was missing. And that continued for about 4 years, 3.5, 4 years. And then one day I woke up and I was 26 years old and I was like, I'm not happy. I'm not sure what the purpose and meaning of life is. Wasn't sure where I was going and what I was going to do because there just was not a lot of happiness. Now, my younger brother was sort of the holy one. And he was the one that went to youth ministry, and he went to all the youth ministry things, retreats, things like that. And by this time, my mother was getting involved in the parish more too, which was interesting. She was helping with PSR and youth ministry, and so she was assisting Father Bob Pfeiffer, who was the pastor at Holy Martyrs Parish, my home parish at that time. And my sister was getting married as well. So what happened was one day my brother was going into the seminary, and he had been in the seminary for a little while, and he invited me to do a retreat weekend. And I just said, yeah, I didn't have any big plans that weekend. And it was there that I really, my whole image of what a priest is was shattered. You know, I learned that priests come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, things like that. Priests put their pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. And I met some neat young priests. Father Dave Woost was then Deacon Dave Woost, and he was assigned to our parish, and we were playing basketball with him. Father Tim Plavik was a young priest. Father John Loya would come to our parish and help on weekends and gave these dynamic homilies. And so I'm meeting these priests, they're just different. You know, I grew up with the priest as this old guy who lives at the church and doesn't do anything. You know, so that really blew up that whole notion of what I thought a priest was. And so that was challenging for me. And I started to go back to Mass, too, and had a lot of questions about the little cookie and things like that. What's that little cookie we eat, and what's that all about? And I was asked to do a reading at my sister's wedding, and Father Pfeiffer, it was funny, my family said, as soon as he started reading, he like jerked his head around, and after the wedding, he said, hey, Barry, how would you like to be a lector? And I'm like, wait, then that means I have to come to Mass every Sunday, right? And I said, well, sure. You know, like, again, it's like he's asked me to do this. My mother was getting me involved in helping out with things like Vacation Bible School and things like that. I always say one of the first things Jesus did was make a monkey out of me, because I had to play the gorilla at the Scripture Safari Vacation Bible School. They made me dress up in the monkey suit. And,
and I did
that.
Guy.
Yeah, big 6'4" monkey. But I was slowly getting involved in the faith, and one day I just woke up and I said, you know what, there's something here. I'm jumping around a lot because, you know, it's hard to kind of reflect. But Father Bob, he and I were also meeting weekly, and he was fielding my questions that I had about the faith and about being Catholic, because I didn't grow up praying rosaries and things like that and all of that. It was just, you know, we kind of just went to Mass, and I sat there and was bored. You know, I just didn't have any depth or relationship with Christ. I just had no idea.
Let's take a break right there,
Father.
Very interesting journey.
Yes, a journey
it was.
I always like to say it's like Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead. What a long, strange trip it's been. So.
My mother used to say, my mother had a saying with me, you better straighten up and fly right, mister.
Yeah, exactly.
Heard that many, many times. We'll be right back on God Calling. This is AM 1260, The Rock. Thanks for listening to us. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, and our guest today, Father Barry Gearing, from St. John Newman. And Father, you've got us just up to about the point where some synapses started to connect in your brain that might have led you to the seminary. How did you make that leap?
Again, when you reflect back on it, it's for me, it was interesting because I do think I had a strange path to the seminary. And I was what they, at the time, I don't know if they still refer to them as late vocations. So I was like 26 when all of a sudden this little switch went off. And what is the meaning and purpose of life? And for me, I didn't have that real big aha moment where all of a sudden I knew this was it. And that was a little intimidating when I first walked through the seminary, because there were guys there that, hey, I knew from the time I was four that I wanted to be a priest. I'm like, whoa, you know. And so I did feel a little out of place at times. And like a lot of guys were afraid of being evaluated and everything. And I always thought, well, I just think God's asking me to be here. I'm going to be myself. And I'm going to try to study and learn, because I was very curious. I was excited to learn theology, not so much philosophy, but I made it. I always like to brag I had to do 400 years of philosophy in one semester, just because if you go in as an older vocation, you got to get caught up, you know. And if you can make it through that, you can make it through anything, you know. But for me, it was just, I can't say, it was just all of a sudden I got this feeling. You know, people like to say, you know, the Holy Spirit is fire, it's wind, it's this dove. I always like to say for me, this Holy Spirit was like that annoying horsefly that's chasing you around, or the black fly season in upstate New York. They follow you around and they're harassing you and they won't let you go and it's annoying you.
But it was a call.
It was a call. It was a call. And then when you have to actually tell your friends that you're partying with and all these things, that, hey, you know, I'm thinking about joining the seminary, that's a little daunting too. But they were very surprisingly supportive, mm-hmm. very supportive of that. And so that helped a lot too. And, of course, my family was very supportive too. My mother was probably somewhat relieved, I would think. So, yeah.
You did straighten up and fly right.
Eventually. Well, I'm still a work in progress. And,
aren't we all?
And my whole staff will be the first to tell you that, Father Barry is still a work in progress.
So. Now, you were ordained in 2000.
Yes, May 20th of 2000. Very easy to remember, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. So that led you where, to St. Adalbert's first?
No, actually my first assignment was on the east side at on Chillicothe. Oh my gosh, I'm having a brain mess up here.
Well, some of the names
Chillicothe have changed. Road. St. Anselm. Oh my goodness. St. Anselm. I'm sorry. Sorry, Father Sweeney. Okay. St. Anselm on the east side. I didn't even know there was an east side.
Yeah, well, I'm a west sider as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't even know there was an east side. And I did five – I was the last class to do a five-year assignment.
Okay.
And I was there for 5 years. And Father Tom Sweeney, excellent first pastor, very supportive, very humble, good man. So – and
– Where from there?
From there, then I was at St. Joe's in Strongsville,
okay.
Under Father Bob Sanson from 05 to 08. And it was in 08 that I started to feel the call to be a pastor. And so I figured, well, I wanted to just get used to the process, you know, because you got to get interviewed and all that stuff. And so the first parish I interviewed for was in Chagrin Falls, which I knew was a long shot. I'm like, they're not putting a rookie in Chagrin Falls. But I said, you know what? I want to go ahead and give it a shot. So I interviewed for that one, and of course I didn't get it. And then someone talked about this neat little Polish parish in Berea, Ohio. My friend Father John Valanchek said, yeah, you know, I'm going to put in for that. I'm like, well, can I put in for it too? And we'll see what they do with us. And so he interviewed and ended up at St. Sebastian's in Akron. So that was a curveball. And I interviewed it thinking, well, I'm probably not going to get it. It's only my second time interviewing and everything. Well, wouldn't you know, about a week later, I had a call from the diocese that said, you've been named pastor of St. Adalbert in Berea. And I was like, oh, boy. Okay, this just got real. So
you were 10 years there?
I was 10 years there, yes, and enjoyed it very much. And after 10 years, I felt like it was time to move on to something a little bigger. And when I heard Father Bob Craig was stepping down, retiring from St. John Newman in Strongsville, I liked Strongsville. I thought it was a neat little place, a little closer to my parents' house in Medina. And so I threw my hat in the ring for that one there, and I've been there ever since. And it's been a challenge because I was there for about 15 months, and then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's just so many parishioners that I still – haven't really seen per se, you know.
You haven't really gotten. You said you wanted something a little bigger.
Yeah,
you got a lot bigger.
Yeah,
something on the order of 3,000 members.
Yeah, close to about 2,100.
Okay,
think, yeah, but bigger than probably the 400 at St. Adalbert for
now,
sure.
How tough is it to come in and replace Father Craig? From the standpoint, he was there 28 years.
And I had replaced Father Jerry Keller, who was at St. Adalbert for 34 years. And it is not easy. So I do pray for these younger guys now that are getting named pastors.
At a younger age.
And they're going into these parishes, and a lot of the staff's been there for 20-some, 30 years. And here comes this young whippersnapper, you know, and he's all full of energy and – it's challenging. It's an interesting thing about the church and priesthood, how it works that way. And you know, the beautiful thing is the one constant is always the people and how supportive they are of their priests. And you always find out real quick who deals well with change and who doesn't. And
Now, have you had parochial vicars? Have you nurtured guys?
Not at St. Adalbert. I was by myself
right
there. I have my second parochial vicar right now, And that is interesting, too. If after living your priesthood, 10 years being by yourself, all of a sudden you got somebody else living in the same place as you. You got to adjust. It can be like the odd couple. So, it's a challenge.
Actually, on Table Talk here on the radio station, Bishop Mlesik was interviewed by Dick Russ when he was still in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And he was looking forward to coming here because he's at his last parish and at the chancery down there, his offices. He was living alone. So he's looking forward to actually living with some guys and having a little more community.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we'll take a break right there and be right back with Father Barry Gehring. Right after this, on God Calling. You're listening to God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. This is Paul Orlowski with Father Barry Gehring. And Father, you talked earlier about kind of just being there at Mass when we were kids because you're supposed to, because mom says go, that sort of thing. But today I think the catechesis of the young kids is more engaging. It's better, for lack of a better word. Now, you have a school down there. How do you reach out to the kids and maybe even spot a vocation in the crowd?
Well, I think they've shown, Father McCandless could probably speak to this, but I do think parishes that have vibrant youth ministry programs, that is where you're getting a lot of vocations. The second place I see a lot of vocation is from homeschool groups, these families that are homeschooling their kids. I think it is important for us to really invest in the youth. What we do at our parish is something we do, the EDGE program, which is the Life Teen version for the junior high kids, and then we do the Life Teen program. And so I was very pleased. That's one of the things that attracted me to St. John Newman, is that that Father Craig, Father LaRocca, his predecessor, they're very invested in youth programming and having things for the kids. And the core teams, the parishioners that assist with those, are very dedicated. So we have those two programs, and then we do something called family faith formation too, where we really engage the parents to come with the kids. When the kids come to PSR, instead of – we don't even call it PSR. See, I just had to check myself. We got to get out of that old way of thinking. It's not school. Jesus is not a subject in a textbook. He's a person. He's a living person.
And that's why the name changed?
Yes. Okay. We don't want to use school.
Okay.
We don't. So we call it family faith. And what happens is our coordinator of family faith, she will take the kids, and then I will take the parents. And while the kids are learning a subject, I will be teaching the parents. And you would be surprised. We get about 60 to 70 parents show up for those. A lot of dads, too, which I'm happy to see the guys, you know, because the dads are always the hardest ones it seems to reach. So that's a positive. And I think moving forward, that's what we need to really be thinking outside of the box, getting the kids out of these classrooms, getting them in small groups. Our whole campus gets used. Like, we have circles of kids and parents all over the place, you know, and it's learning something and then talking about it.
It's very clear you get a lot of joy out of it because
I love it.
Your smile is ear to ear when you're talking about people here, there, and circles of kids and all that.
Yes, yes. And that's – this past year has been particularly difficult, especially when you're only seeing someone from the nose up or above the nose and up. And that is one of the things that I'm finding so life-giving is we hopefully, God willing, are starting to turn the corner on the pandemic is re-engaging the people and teaching them and being with them and helping them with the hurts and the pain that they've been experienced this past year. Yeah. A lot of challenging conversations with the laity. There's a lot of people hurting from this, but that's what energizes me. That's what gives me the strength, and I love that.
Do you think it's going to be difficult? Have some people fallen away for good, do you think?
I would not be surprised that we've probably lost some people for good. But remember, Pope Benedict always said that ultimately there will be a faithful remnant left, and then that's where we start. One of my heroes is Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and he said, we do not save them large groups at a time. We save them one soul at a time.
Yeah.
One soul at a time. And so we have to be patient as a church. But I see a lot of hope, too. Again, I see a lot of young people, a lot of young families at Mass, and that's very encouraging. So that's what we work with. I'm all for going out and knocking on the doors of those who haven't been showing up. But I find, in my experience, even the ones that are showing up, there's a lot they don't know, and they're eager to learn it.
I read a survey that a fairly high percentage of Catholics don't really believe in the transubstantiation.
Mm-hmm. And these are people that are faithfully coming every week, but they're struggling. You know, some of them are just holding on. And I have to correct myself. I said, learn it. We don't learn Jesus. We encounter him. I have to keep correcting myself. You see how the trap that we've been falling into for so many years.
Decades, you know, sure.
Decades. And no, it's an encounter, you know, and that's what we have to provide. And telling our stories, you have a story, that's what wins hearts. I can spend all my time looking in my books to prepare a very good academic catechetical homily, but the one that I get the most comments on is when I share a little piece of my priestly journey. And mm-hmm. Father, I just loved how human you are, how approachable you are.
Does that make marriage preparation easier? And that you're letting them know what you're in for. Yeah, maybe you partied, maybe you didn't party, but
yeah.
This is – you get one try.
Yes. It is challenging for married couples, and especially in the world we live in now. And I like to share with couples as they're getting ready to embark on their vocation. You know, I mentioned how twisted my concept of love and relationship with the Lord was. Ultimately, what really turned me around in terms of embracing celibacy and things like that, because you have to remember, I was raised with the idea that, you know, have as much pleasure as you can. What really turned around for me was the theology of the body of St. John Paul the Great, where I looked at celibacy not as a discipline, but as a way of showing God through my body that heaven is real. And that mm-hmm. heaven is something worth dying for, you know, that the body is a sacrament. Our body makes present the invisible love of God through our bodies. And so a celibate priest, he is a spiritual father. I'd never heard the term spiritual fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that just opened up everything for me. You really are a spiritual father. The parallels are very similar.
A great term.
Yeah.
Well, St. John Newman is your parish. And what time are your masses, website, stuff like that?
Books, we have a parish, a website, sjnohio.com. And our masses, we have vigil masses on Saturdays at 4 p.m. And a vigil mass, at Saturday at 4 p.m. and then 8:30 10 and 11:30, and then we have a life teen mass at 5 p.m. on Sunday.
Beautiful.
And we have a beautiful life teen band, and I always say they're the best in the diocese, so no partiality, but that's what dads do, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. Spiritual fathers.
Spiritual fathers, yes.
Father, thanks for coming and appreciate it. Great conversation.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Enjoyed having you. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski. We'll be back next week, and we hope you'll join us.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.